have your Bibles following us on the screen, I want to invite your attention to Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, and I want to read verses 5 through 6. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Verses 5 through 6. If you have it, say amen. Amen. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Yeah. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. I want to use for a subject the prayer approach. The prayer approach. Church, as we continue to go deeper into the process of becoming established in the things of God, we will continue to look at the importance of first being committed to a thing so that we can become established in all things. Our theme for this year is committed to be established, which is rooted in the scripture of Proverbs 16:3 that says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. This is the year of commitment. Somebody say commitment. Commitment. Which means this year we will concentrate solely on the area of being committed, so that we will become consistent and committed to living a Christ-centered, committed life. And we have defined commitment as making the choice to hold your course with a steadfast and unwavering obligation to accomplish what you have set out to achieve. We know that unless you make the commitment, chances are you will not hold your course. And you will not see your way to the finish line. And unfortunately, the enemy knows that too often God's people are quick to quit, easily discouraged, throw in the towel too soon, because they have not made the decision to be rooted in this area of commitment. But child of God, when you make up your mind to hold your course and hang on in there, no matter what comes your way, then you will begin to see great results take place in your life, particularly when it comes down to the things of God. So we got to settle on this fact that if we're going to be better or to better our position in life and move into a life that Jesus came to give us, which is not just to have mere life, but he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We've got to make up our minds that we're going to be committed to the things of God in our lives. James 4:8 reminds us, if we draw near to God we will discover that God is already drawing near to us. When we make the commitment to God, you will discover God's already committed to you. So today, the first area of commitment we're going to concentrate on, and we talked a little bit about it last week, is the area of prayer. We must make a commitment to developing a prayer life. That if we're going to grow in the things of God, prayer is vitally important. Because when you pray, you are in communication with God, and God is in communion with you. How can we serve a God or know a God that we don't communicate with on a daily basis? Prayer brings us into the presence of God, whereby we open up our hearts to him and God pours into our soul. Remember, David declared in the 23rd Psalm, he restores my soul. This is what happens when you're in daily communication and dialogue with God. God pours his spirit of restoration into your soul when you come to him in prayer. Too often, so many of God's children are going too long without having their souls restored. When you fail to allow God to restore your soul, you lose your joy. You lose your peace. Your heart becomes hard and your spirit becomes bitter. When your soul is not restored, Lord have mercy, you don't have the wisdom of God to apply in your life. You are making it from day to day with no purpose, no sense of direction. Because when your soul is not restored, you will eventually come spiritually dry. Dry! There's no life, no vibrancy, no buoyancy, no joy in your soul when you're dry. Everybody lifting up holy hands and you looking like a knot on the log. When you're dry, what used to move you don't move you no more. When you're dry, your outlook is negative. Your faith is replaced with doubt. When you're dry, but to keep your soul restored every day, you got to be in fellowship with the Lord. Allow God to refresh your heart. David says, create in me clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. Restore the joy of my salvation. Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Philemon 1 and 20 declares, yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. You see, when you are in daily dialogue with God in prayer, one of the benefits is you will be refreshed, you will be renewed, you will be restored, you will be re-energized, and it'll show up in your life. When God refreshes you, he removes the old. He takes away the stale and replaces it with the new, with the update, with the fresh. You know how your computer is. Every now and then it starts updating. It's staying current, staying renewed. Every now and then you need an upgrade. But when you're in the presence of God, God will renew you. You see, Jesus said, you can't put new wine in old wine skin. You can't put the fresh in the stale and the worn out. But when you stay before God, He refreshes your heart, restores your soul, and He pours out the new wine of wisdom for you to make it day by day. When you know you're in the presence of God and He restores you, you have a gleam and a glow in your life. You got a pep in your step. Joy in your soul that will cause inquiring minds to want to know, what is it that make you smile in crying situations? What is it that you can get up and look forward to gloomy days, challenging circumstances? It's because I've been with Jesus. He's worked a work in my heart. He has restored me. And how many of you know, great is He that is within me? He that is in the world. Somebody say, restore me, Lord. You see, the secret to Jesus' success in ministry was that Jesus led a lifestyle of prayer. If you want to know the impact and the importance of prayer to Jesus, look at what the disciples asked Him. Lord, teach us how to pray. For all the things Jesus' disciples observed Him saying and doing, the Bible records only that to be the one thing they asked Him. Teach us how to pray. In Luke 11, one, the inquiring minds of the disciples, they didn't want to know, Lord, show us how to do a miracle. Show us how to multiply fish and loaves in the desert. No, Lord, teach us how to pray. You see, when the Lord fellowships in your life, He leaves you refreshed. And you see, it is believed that Jesus prayed approximately 4 to 5 hours every day, and sometimes more at other times. The disciples saw Him praying more than anything else. That's why they wanted to learn how to pray. Because in the course of Jesus' ministry, watch this, Jesus spent minutes healing people, but He spent hours in daily prayer. And this is where we are missing it. We'll spend minutes with God and then try to do many hours of work in His name. Jesus spent minutes casting out demons and then spent hours praying that morning, when in our lives we spend minutes with God and then spend the rest of the day fighting with demons. When we put our time in with prayer, God will empower us for the day's journey. Watch this. Hours with God will make minutes with people effective. Preach, Reverend. Hours with God will make minutes with people effective, because how many of you know the Lord will order your steps? He will direct your path to get you to where you need to be. So we see in Matthew 6:6, Jesus offers a methodology on prayer. And what is important when we pray, I call it the prayer approach. Three things Jesus tells us in the prayer approach. Very simplistic, right there in the text. The first thing he says, go into your room. Go into your room. Now, when Jesus tells us to go into our room, he's not just referring to a physical location in your house. But when God makes reference to the room, he is saying, get alone with yourself and with me. Because your personal prayer time should be away from others. So you need to get alone. And it is important for you to get by yourselves, and whatever that place is that you call your prayer room. Because in your room, you got to go into the inner chambers. You got to deal with you in the room. You got to open up you to God in the room, so that God can work on your heart and give you what you need. You got to make an assessment of what it is that's on your heart and on your mind, and be open with God with what's troubling your soul. You got to look inward and then look upward. When you're in your room, you don't need no distraction. You don't need your cell phone in your room. You don't need your friends in your room. You got to get alone with God. Spend time in the room. Somebody say, go in the room. Then the next thing Jesus said, close the door. See, Teddy Pendergrass wasn't the first one who said that. Jesus was the first one to say, close the door. Now, after you've made that assessment of what it is that you're going to focus on in prayer, just don't go in there rambling all over the place. Focus. Focus. Close the door. Because the enemy knows you're about to pray. And if you don't close the door, your mind, you start wondering. Thoughts start going everywhere. You're supposed to be praying and you're thinking about a sale down in the store. You're supposed to be praying. And you all thinking about what somebody did to you. Your mind get to wondering. Because the enemy, one of the things the enemy does is send you thoughts. His arrows and his weaponry is to mess with your mind. And so while you're praying, you're wondering where that came from. That's the enemy trying to get you off focus. You praying, you get all tangled up, you got to start all over again. Yeah, you repeating your prayer, can't get you all, because the door not closed. Door wide open. Devil and all his buddies, imps and demons, just all in your room, messing with your mind. And you're supposed to be praying precious time with God. When you close the door, you close the door on your worries. You close the door on your fears. You close the door on your distractions. And you know that you are in a safe place. He who abides under the shadow of the Most High. You're in a place of refuge. When you close the door. And also when you close the door, you're now standing on faith. You stand believing that God knows what you need. You stand trusting God's gonna see you through. That's why you got to go in your room. You got to get in touch with the real you. Let your spirit fellowship with the Holy Spirit to guide you in the area that you need. You see, Romans 8:26 tells us, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. When our spirit get in tune with the Spirit, guides us and show us, come this way. Stand on this word. Trust God on this thing. We close the door to our flesh and open up our hearts for Holy Ghost direction. Somebody say, close the door. And then Jesus says, after you go in your room, after you close the door, he says, pray in secret. To pray in secret means that your prayer with God is personal. And I know that the Bible says touch and agree, and we do need to pray as a corporate body of believers. But before I can join forces with you, I gotta have my own personal time and prayer. And when I pray in secret with God, that's me and God's time. You don't get out of there and go running. Child, you know I prayed today. Let me tell you what I told God today. No, that's between you and God. Secret. Can you keep a secret? Amen. Between you and God? Yeah. I know the family that prays together stays together. Yeah, that's a good, and it rhymes. Good saying, and it rhymes. But there are times you got to go get along for you. You got to go for what you know. Got to get along with yourself. Yeah. Because there's some things that only you and God need to talk about. Huh? David said, when he got alone with God, he poured out from the depths of his heart. And everybody can't handle the depths of your heart. Because if folk knew the real you, if folk really knew the real you, the issues of the heart, some of them couldn't handle it. That's why you got to talk to God. And it's not just talking to God about your shortcomings, but you got to talk to God about your dreams and your aspirations. You got to talk to God about the purpose that you feel driven in your life. And everybody can't handle your purpose, so you can't tell everybody your dream. Because everybody don't want to go where you're going. And there are some who don't want to see you get there. So you got to pray in secret. And when you pray, you can't fool God. And this is no time to try to pretend. No time when you're alone with God to be like the Pharisee. Father, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner. I pray to you 3 times a day. He in God's presence bragging. No, you got to be open and sincere with God. And when you're open with God, God will open up some things to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and give you insight. He will give you understanding. When you pray, you just don't make a list of wants and begging and pleading. But you get quiet. Lead me. Guide me. Show me where I need to go. And then hear the voice of God as he speaks to your soul. Remember, I told you minutes with men will become effective when you spend hours with God. So, church, if we're going to be committed folk, we got to commit to becoming praying people. Because when you pray, God will refresh, renew, and restore your soul. When you pray, you're drawing near to God. And you will discover that God is already close to you. Go in your room and then close the door. Pray to the Lord in secret and listen for God to order your steps. I believe the song says it better than I. It said, I learned, or I found the answer when I learned to pray. The answer to what you need is on the other side of your prayer. You see, I found truth when I learned to pray. I found peace for my confusion when I learned to pray. I found joy for my sorrow when I learned to pray. I found strength when I was weak, when I learned to pray. I got holy boldness over my fears when I learned to pray. I found hope over my disappointments when I learned to pray. When you pray, Lord, have mercy. When you pray and let God have his way. Is there anybody here who knows when you get in your room, you find yourself declaring and saying, Father, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Is there anybody here who knows God is
a present help in time of trouble. I wish I had a praying church. Is there anybody here who don't mind spending a little time with the Lord? Just a little talk, a little talk with Jesus. Tell him about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry. Won't he answer? Won't he answer? And won't he come through for you? I found the answer when I learned. When I learned to pray.